Well, thank you, Annette. Welcome back, everybody. Do keep that passage in your Bibles open as we look at that for a few moments now. Now, before that, I'm afraid I do have some bad news. After our Easter Sunday service, normally we serve not just the usual tea, coffee, and biscuits. There's normally hot cross buns too, with real butter. But unfortunately, that's not going to happen today. And that's not all either. There's no Easter eggs to give away either. Now, of course, I've got my own, so I'm going to be okay. I'd love to be able to share it with you, but unfortunately, that's just not possible. Now, as we all know, there's plenty of other bad news in the world at the moment. Many people are dying of this virus every day, as well, of course, for plenty of other reasons. There are more and more people in hospital. The NHS is close to capacity. People are losing their jobs. And of course, we're all stuck at home in such lovely weather as well. And because of that, many people will be feeling isolated. Many people will be feeling lonely this morning. And maybe others are getting fed up with the people that they're having to spend time in the same house with. I certainly don't speak for myself, of course. Now, if we had to pick a Disney character to perhaps just describe the mood that we're in at the moment, I reckon quite a few of us might choose Eeyore. It's all a little bit gloomy. So to cheer us all up, I want you all to think for a moment of maybe the best thing you've ever heard, the best news in your whole life. Take a moment to do that. Maybe it was a birthday party. Maybe it was when you got your first smartphone. Exam results, perhaps. For me, that was a pretty big day when I discovered how somehow I scraped through the degree that I needed to take up my job offer a few years ago. Many years ago, of course. Or for some, maybe it was a marriage proposal. And congratulations, by the way, to David and Carol on your recent diamond wedding. I trust everybody's kind of thought of something now. Well, hopefully these good things that you've remembered weren't too long ago. I know for some, being told recently that the schools were going to be closed was perhaps pretty good news. Maybe you're changing your minds now. Sometimes we get good news when we're least expecting it. And that is what happened to a few women one Sunday morning a long time ago. They were really, really sad at the beginning. And then they were really, really scared. And then finally, they were amazingly happy. They were up really early in the morning while it was still dark, we've read. They were carrying bags of spices and they were heading for a tomb. Now that, to many of us, might seem a pretty odd thing to be doing. Well, these women had just a couple of days earlier watched their best friend die in agony on a cross. And they'd seen his body placed in something like a small cave with a great boulder rolled in front of it. Now, normally in those days, you put spices on a dead body before you buried it. But this time, things had happened so quickly that they didn't have chance to do that on the day that Jesus had died. And they couldn't do it for the next day either, because the rule says that you shouldn't work on a Sunday, on a Saturday rather. So here they were, early on the Sunday morning, and they were in for the biggest shock of their lives. When they got there, the rock had been kind of rolled away, and then they looked inside the tomb, and it was empty. And if that wasn't a big enough shock, well, I was still wondering what could possibly have happened. Suddenly, two men appeared in clothes that were gleaming like lightning. Now, I don't know if you've seen, I'm sure you have seen lightning in the dark before. It's pretty bright, isn't it? Imagine that right beside you in the form of two men that you've never seen before. Now, no wonder these women kind of fell over, and not because they were women, mind. This would have scared the wits out of anybody. But whilst they had their faces in the ground, these men spoke these words, which we've just read together. Do turn back, verse 5 of chapter 24 in Luke's Gospel. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners and be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. So what on earth was going on? Well, this is what Easter is all about, if you haven't gathered that from what we've already discussed in our service together this morning. I'm sorry if you thought Easter was really about bunnies or chicks or chocolate. Well, you can have those things as well. But the big message is this. Jesus is risen just as he said. Jesus is risen just as he said. Now, somebody else quoted not long ago, if you don't think that this is the best news ever, then you really haven't understood what Christian faith is all about. So please don't switch off now. These next few minutes could literally save your life. Now, these last couple of weeks, I've come across various different stories of people who claim that they predicted this coronavirus pandemic months or even years ago. Now, maybe they did. I really don't know. But Jesus certainly predicted what was going to happen to him. Because reliable historical records show that several times in different places, Jesus said that he would be arrested and killed, but that he would rise again on the third day. And it's not just what Jesus himself said, it's what the whole of scriptures have been saying for thousands of years. Now, in our home group this week, we were studying from the Bible in Acts chapter 26, and we read this from the words of the Apostle Paul as he addressed King Agrippa. They've come up on your screen now. He said, I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Messiah would suffer and, as the first to rise from the dead, would bring the message of light to his own people and to the Gentiles. That means to the Jewish people and to the rest of the world. Now, if you thought that the Bible was dull and irrelevant, please think again. It is explosive stuff. This is a message like nothing else. And it's God's message of love and of rescue to a world that is hell-bent on destroying itself. As Paul said in that same speech, what I'm saying is true and reasonable. Now, you might wonder at that statement, but I would say if there is a God out there who is worth his salt, he must be a God who can do miracles. Because I'm certainly not wanting to waste my life worshipping something or somebody who can't even bring a dead person back to life. So the question for me is not is it possible for a God to have done something like that? The question for me is, does it really matter whether Jesus actually rose from the dead? Because, you know, we believe that he died on the cross to take the punishment that we deserve for the way that we've treated God, and that without Jesus' death, everybody, every one of us, would be facing God's judgment, just as we heard very clearly on Friday. But does it really matter whether he actually came back to life? Well, absolutely is the answer to that question. Because if Jesus is not alive today, he can do absolutely nothing for us. He would just be like another mad person who claimed to be God but failed and died like all the others. The same Apostle Paul wrote this a few years later. If Christ had not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. So I'm not going to waste my breath trying to persuade you of something this morning that is just a myth. I've checked out the evidence, just as Billy explained earlier that he had done much earlier than I did in my life. And I am, like him, absolutely sure that this is true. Jesus is risen, just as he said. And because he's alive, the Bible says, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he lives to intercede for them. Now, we live in an information age with online news, global communication, social media. Information is kind of thrown at us all the time. Now, some of that information is interesting. A lot of it is not. Yesterday, for example, I learned from Facebook that you can still hire skips in catering. Well, I'm sure that's really useful information to a lot of people, but I've got to say, it's not going to change my life. On the other hand, if someone told me that the queue outside Sainsbury's was down to 5 minutes, I think I'll be there by like a shot. Some information affects us and some doesn't. Well, these women receive news in Jerusalem that Sunday morning that certainly affected their lives. Jesus is risen, just as he said. Now, as we begin to think about what we might do with this information, let's look first at how it affected those who first heard it. And in our reading, there were three different responses. First, there were the women who remembered his words. And of course, they told others. We don't know how long these men stood beside them that dark Sunday morning. Perhaps it was only for a few moments, but it changed everything for these women. Verse 8 says this, then they remembered his words. Now, memory is an amazing thing. Our brains are kind of made in such a way that we can gather information, we can store it there for a while, and then recall it at a later date. I'm sure we don't appreciate how amazing our memories are until we begin to lose them. Now, these women, they remembered the words of Jesus, the one who always spoke the truth, the one who always kept his promises, the one whose words were always full of compassion and wisdom. And they remembered his words. They were comforted. Their fear was gone. Now, many of us are very familiar with the words of Jesus. We have Bibles. We perhaps read them frequently. And of course, we know that it's more than just information. It's the living word of God. And I can assure you that the more we remember of these words, the more our lives will be changed. Why do we so often kind of lose faith? Why do we get so disheartened sometimes? Why do we so often give in to temptation? Well, a lot of the time it's because we just forget the words of Jesus. Remember Mary, the mother of Jesus. When he was born, the Bible says, or rather, I think this was before he was born, the Bible says she treasured up all these words and she pondered them in her heart. Now, if you're a Christian believer watching us here this morning, don't just listen to the words of Jesus. Treasure them, ponder them. Then you will know his peace, you will know his love, and you will know his power. And of course, you will also share his message. These women didn't just remember his words, they told others. Verse 9 says, when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to the others. This is not the kind of news that you can possibly keep to yourself. Now, if someone right now discovered there was a vaccine for coronavirus and they didn't share it with anybody, they would be treated as a criminal. How much more for those of us who have discovered the secret to eternal life? So why is it that we sometimes are so hesitant to share this message with others? Well, it's certainly that we don't value it as much as we should. And I'm as guilty of that as anybody. But it's also because we know that not everyone is going to believe us. Now, these women, that Sunday morning, they were the first people ever to proclaim the good news of the resurrection of Jesus. But the people that they were told were the first people to disbelieve the good news of the resurrection of Jesus. And that's the second response in our passage this morning. The apostles did not believe at first. Verse 11 says this, they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. I reckon this is a pretty typical kind of response, really. It's what so often puts us off sharing the good news. We kind of pluck up the courage to tell our friends and our neighbors, maybe people in our workplaces, and they think we're stupid. Our words seem to them like nonsense. Now, when I started work at the Bank of England more than 20 years ago, I was sitting opposite a guy called Graham, and we're in an open plan office. Tuesday lunchtime came around every week, and he would stand up and invite everyone to come to church with him. Now, you can imagine the looks, you can imagine the smirks. His words seemed like nonsense. But I am eternally grateful for Graham. He did this every week, and after a while, I didn't go at first, but after a while, I decided I would go with him. And there at St. Helen's Church in Bishopsgate, I heard the Bible explained clearly and logically. So I went week after week, and gradually I came to realize that what I was hearing was true. It made sense, and it warmed my heart. What I discovered was that my Creator loved me. I discovered that my Creator had suffered and died for me. And when I began to understand his grace, there was nothing more that I wanted to do than to get baptized and to follow him. Now, the disciples of Jesus at first rejected the message of the resurrection, that they ridiculed these women. But the miracle of Jesus' resurrection was followed not long after by what many people would call an even more amazing miracle, men admitting that they were wrong. By the time Luke wrote his gospel, he could call these men apostles, which means they were messengers. They had met with the risen Lord Jesus for themselves. They knew it was true. And like these women, that they told others. And also like the women, they too were seen as stupid. Their words seemed like nonsense to many who heard them. But some believed, and so the movement grew and grew. Well, we've seen that these women remembered, the apostles did not believe. And then there was a third response. Peter, one of the 11 remaining disciples, he ran to see. Verse 12 says, Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Now, if you've been following the story through Luke's gospel these last few weeks, you'll recall that the last we heard of Peter was back in chapter 22. And there he was weeping bitterly. After claiming that he would stand by Jesus no matter what happened, he had then denied him three times, just as Jesus had predicted that he would. Now, all of Jesus' disciples that night had deserted him. But maybe Peter was feeling worse than average. So when he heard that there was a chance that Jesus might be alive, he wanted to check out the evidence. And he got there and he saw these strips of linen, which of course is evidence that there used to be a body there. And he began to wonder. Well, it didn't take him long to make up his mind, because 40 days later, this same Peter was standing up in the middle of Jerusalem, telling thousands of people that the man they had killed was the savior of the world. And then he said this, but God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold of him. Now, if you've been watching this morning and you've got questions, do what Peter did. Find out, but do it urgently. There is some information on our website, and of course you can contact us. We also run a short course called Christianity Explored. And it's a chance to check out the big claims of the Christian faith. But don't leave it until this lockdown is over. We don't know how long this might be. Jesus might return before this is over. Now, I've done this course on the phone with people before, or with one person before rather, and he is now still following the Lord Jesus. We can easily do this over any online meeting app that you might choose, or we can do it over the phone. So please do get in touch. But within hours of Jesus' resurrection, there were three different responses to this news. There was faith, there was disbelief, and there was investigation. And of course, it's been like that ever since. And today, every one of us has the same choice. Will we remember the words of Jesus? Will we reject the words of Jesus? Or will we check them out? Whatever you do, it will definitely spread. Some of you will be aware that Jesus himself likened his kingdom to a mustard seed, something so tiny that you could hardly see it. But when it's planted, it grows up into a tree that even birds can nest in. Well, I've been struck by some of these charts that show how the coronavirus can very quickly spread. If one person infects two or three people within 5 days, apparently 400 people could be infected within a month. Hence, of course, the policy on social distancing. Well, if the resurrection was just a big lie, Christian faith would have died before it even got going. But people who were convinced told others. And many of those others, and many of those who told the message in the first place, including these first apostles, even died for their faith. There's a lot of fake news around, especially these days, of course, false allegations. There are rumors, there are conspiracy stories. And we certainly shouldn't believe everything that we hear or read. But this news is tried and tested. That Jesus rose from the dead is not only great news, it is reasonable and it's true. So will you let it change your life? Now, I just wonder whether there's someone perhaps watching this morning who is ready to make that commitment to the Lord Jesus, ready to say that he is your Lord and your Saviour. So I'm going to say a short prayer now that you might like to say with me, either out loud or quietly in your heart. And it's a prayer that says sorry to God for the way that we've treated him. It's a prayer that says that we believe that Jesus died on the cross and that when he did that, he was paying the price for our sins. And it's a prayer that asks him to forgive your sins and trust that because he rose from the dead, he therefore has the power and the desire to do just that. And it's a prayer that asks for God's Spirit to come and rest in your heart to help you live the rest of your life for the glory of Jesus. Now, will you pray that prayer with me this morning? Well, let's pray together now. Our great God, you deserve wondrous things from us. You deserve our full love and obedience. And therefore, we want to say sorry for the way that we've treated you, the way that so often we've ignored you, perhaps even outrightly rejected you. Father, we believe that the Lord Jesus was you incarnate. You came to this earth as a human being, and you suffered and died in our place, so that we might be forgiven of our sins. So we ask you, therefore, to forgive us. And we trust, Lord God, that because the Lord Jesus rose again, you have the power and the willingness to forgive us and to make us your own. And we ask that by your Holy Spirit, that you would therefore come and live in our heart, in my heart, to help me, to help us live the rest of our lives for the glory of the Lord Jesus. And we ask it in his name. Amen.